Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I spoke with my wife briefly. She was asleep, but I spoke to her. I don't think she remembered speaking to me, but anyway, we spoke, I'm going to say she sends her greetings because I know she would. I'm not sure that she said that, but I'm going to send the greetings anyway. But it's great to be here with you, and it's great to be in the city of Manchester and also to be here on this side of the world. It's great coming. I call it coming home. My wife and I spent half of my Christian experience here in this country. We were here for 16, 17 years. And when we returned to America in 2008 or 9, whatever it was, that was half of my Christian experience. So I spent half my life here because before I got saved, I was dead. But when I got saved, I came alive. So I spent half my life here in this country, and to see what God has done and to see what God is doing and to also look forward to see what God is going to do is an exciting prospect. And God is always faithful. He's always right on time, and God knows what he's doing. But God's biggest challenge for us is that he's constantly trying to build our faith. He's constantly trying to get us in a position to where that we will trust him and believe him for things that are just beyond what we can do in our own strength and our own ability. But in our own humanness, we tend to shrink everything down to what we can do, to what we can think, to what we can control, to what we can manufacture, to what we can make happen. And God's trying to take that off of us and grow us to the point to where we can believe him for bigger, greater, and more awesome things that he can do through us. And so to see what Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky have done here and how God has used them and how God has grown this ministry is amazing to me. Because God doesn't see us as we are, but he sees us as we can become. And so, I mean, you know, I saw great things in Pastor Paul, but I didn't think they were this great. But now you see even greater things that God wants to do. Because this is just the beginning. You're just scratching the surface. It's only been 16 years. Man, 16 years is nothing. Think about it when you were 16 years old. Well, some of you aren't more than 16 now anyway. But think about it when you were 16. Look at what God has done in that short amount of time. Look at what God can do. He can do anything. He's constantly trying to get us to build our faith, to trust him, to believe him. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, he says, the whole thing is he outlines in chapter 11 the chapter of faith or the heroes of faith or the hall of faith or whatever you want to call it. But he goes down and he enumerates all of these different people that did great exploits in faith. And then he gets down to verse number, I think it's 32, and he says, what more can I say? I don't have time to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of David, and of Jephthah, and of all of those that have gone before who never obtained the promise. But we've attained the promise. And what is the promise? The promise is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The promise is new life. The promise is new potential. The promise is new opportunity. And that resurrection, that new life, is that what builds our faith to believe that if God could raise his son from the dead and he came out of that tomb and he rose again and he ascended to heaven, that gives us faith to believe that if God could do that, he could do anything. Just think of what you were before you met God. It's a scary proposition, huh? It's a scary thing. Take your Bibles this morning and open to Judges chapter 6. And I want to look at a character who the writer of Hebrews didn't have time to write about. Didn't have time to tell us about. And his name was Gideon. So I want us to look at verse number 24 of chapter 6 of Gideon. And I'll just be a few minutes. Next service, I'll be a few more minutes, but I'll be a few minutes. And it reads like this. It says, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and there he called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Father, thank you today for your presence. And I pray that you will speak clearly and distinctly to our hearts and to our lives this morning. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that are happening to watch online, you couldn't get out of your road to get to church, so you're online watching. It's good to have you. We're glad you joined us. Don't forget to pay your tithes. When we think of Gideon, we think of his great victory over the enemy with 300 men. The battle that he waged against the Midianites there that day in the middle of the night, where he took 300 men against 450,000 of the enemy, and that great miracle victory that was won, where he put them to flight and he destroyed them, and he became a great judge and deliverer of the nation of Israel. That's what we think about when we think of Gideon. At least that's what I think about. But we forget many times the events that led up to that great victory. We forget many times the process that God took Gideon through to get him to that place of experiencing that great victory. And it's a process of God building faith in this young man, in this person, to be able to believe him to do great exploits. And God wants to take us through a process to get us to that place where we can believe him to do great exploits in our lives. To use us in powerful, mighty way. To use us beyond what we could imagine, beyond what we could think. Because there's a power that works within us, but God wants to activate that power. And that power is the Holy Spirit. And he does it through his word, because faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. And so the Bible tells us that God constantly tries to build our faith. Now the writer of Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But that's the result of faith. But what is faith? Faith is action based upon belief sustained by the confidence that God is able to do what he says he's able to do. Action, belief, and confidence. That's what God can do. We take God at his word. And that's what Gideon did. He took God at his word. But it was a process. And the first thing that Gideon had to get a hold of was he had to get a different perspective on God. He had to see God differently. He had to see God beyond his own circumstance, beyond what he could do, beyond where Gideon was at. We all know he was hiding in a cave trying to thresh out a little living and get a little wheat for his family. But the Lord shows up and appears to him in verse number 11 of chapter 6, and he says, "The Lord is with thee." And Gideon's response is despair and doubt. But God says, "Go in this thy might, have I not sent you?" Verse 14. He says, "Surely I will be with you." In verse number 16. He says, verse number 17. If Gideon says, "If you're really there, wait me here. Let me make a sacrifice." And the Bible says, the angel of the Lord waits. You know, God's always patient with us. He's always patient. He'll always wait. He'll always give us a chance. And so Gideon, in these next little verses, the scene begins to unfold, and he puts together this sacrifice, and he brings it back, and he places it on a rock, and the angel of the Lord stretches out his staff and lights the sacrifice on fire, consumes it. That's another message, the consuming of the sacrifice. But the Bible says in verse number 23, the Lord said, "Peace be with you." Why did the Lord say, the angel say, "Peace be with you"? Because when you see the Lord face to face, you die. And so the angel says, "Peace, it's all right, you're not going to die." Because this was what the Bible calls, or what theologians call, this is a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself. And so Gideon's afraid, "Man, I'm going to die. I saw the Lord, I'm going to die." And the angel of the Lord says, "You ain't going to die." These things happen for a couple of reasons. Number one, God wanted Gideon to realize that God was with him. And he wanted him to realize that the whole of the love and the power of God was on his side. And that he had a picture of the awesomeness and the greatness and the power of God. Puts a little offering on a rock, the staff got, boom, fire comes. Man, God's revealing himself when he's saying, "Gideon, you got to see me as a big God. You got to see me as beyond your circumstance here. You're hiding in a cave, threshing out a wheat. You're the least in your family, the least in your tribe. You know, all you think about is what you don't got and who you're not and all your complexes and inadequacies. I want you to see me and the great things that I can do through your life." That's why I love singing that song. I don't know. I say, "Sing with me, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great." If I don't want to sing, because I don't want to empty the place. But anyway, when I sing, I sing that song and I just close my eyes and I see the bigness and the grandness and the awesomeness of God and all of my problems and the challenges and the uncertainties and the, you know, and the fears and the doubts begin to shrink because I can now face impossible situations because I remember how great and how big and how awesome God is and that God can do the impossible. Just look back at the miracle working power of God when we face impossible situations. They seem overwhelming and overmounted, and we can't see any way through. We can't see any way around. Just think back and remember the miracle working power of God. Think back of who God is and what God is. He's the all-knowing, ever-present, never-changing, all-powerful God. That's whom we serve. That's who's at our side. That's who's available. And Gideon had to get a new, I call it take a new fix on the greatness of God. Sometimes we got a little teeny weeny bitty God. And God says, no, I want you to see me as great, as mighty, as awesome, as powerful, that can do anything. And part of seeing God in that light is that we need to see ourselves differently. Sometimes we got a bad perception of who we are. We really think we're all not all that much. We think we're not all that great. We don't got all that much going for us. But when we got God on our side, Gideon said he was the weakest tribe. His family was the least, and he was the least in his family. Wow, you talk about inferiority complexes and insecurity complexes. That dude was complexed. But as long as Gideon saw himself in this defeated state, inadequate, complex, insignificant, no hope, no spirit, no sense of purpose, no sense of promise, how was he going to do anything great? But God had to come and stir his heart. God had to appear to him as an angel and say, listen, you're the man. You're the mighty man of valor. You're the warrior. You're the captain. You're the deliverer. You're going to be a hero. We look back at the journey that God has taken us on and how God has brought us through. And we see, even we look at Victory Outreach from 1967. I wasn't there in the beginning, but I was there when we were just like a kind of a ragtag group of, you know, snaggletooth, bad breath, you know, hairy creatures roaming around the earth. But we've evolved and we've grown. And like somebody said, we've come a long way, baby. From those days when we, you know, we like to acted like we knew what we were doing. We didn't have a clue what we were doing. We didn't send churches, we got rid of people. We didn't know what to do with somebody. Oh, well, you know, you look like a candidate. Why don't you go over there and start a Bible study and make it a church? And we didn't know what to do with them, so we got rid of them. But now, we're sophisticated. We got strategies. No, we got strategies, I can say it. We got a plan and we're intentional in what we do. But back then, man, we've come a long way. You see the evolution of Victory Outreach. You see the evolution of this church. I remember when this church first got started. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our... Man, it was like dangerous. And then we sent Pastor Paul and Vicky. Then it really got dangerous. But the evolution of what God has done. Do I believe in the theory of evolution? Yes. The evolution of God's process within our life. How God develops us and grows us and matures us and takes us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from obstacle to challenge to overcomer. But that takes faith. We gotta believe in a great God. We gotta see ourselves not as the world sees us, not as we're depicted by ourselves, but we gotta see ourselves as God sees us. What do you think Jesus did when he looked at Peter when he first saw him? He says, oh God, please, Father, not him, anybody but Peter. No, he looked at Peter and says, you're a weak, swayed by the wind, double-minded man, but I get done with you, you're going to be a rock, and I'm going to build my church on who you are. He looked at James and John, the sons of thunder. They wanted to call down fire on everybody. They had attitude. They had anger. They were prejudiced. Can you imagine? Prejudice. Jesus said, all right, I'm going to take you. And John became the brother of love. He wanted to barbecue everybody. See, Jesus didn't see him as he was. He saw him as he could become. What about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. What about the woman at the well? I don't want to leave the women out. She was a piece of work. Been around the block a few times. Came to Jesus. Told her everything she'd ever done. She goes back to the village. Tells the village people, come hear the man that told me everything I've ever done. Well, if I was in that village, I'd want to go hear what she had all done. No wonder the whole village emptied to go talk to Jesus. That was the first Kardashian episode. Man, the whole village, all the people have been, man, I want to hear everything that she's done. I'm going to go, where's this dude at? Man, I want to hear those stories. I'll bet that's good stuff. You talk about reality TV. Woo, that was reality TV before TV. What about Moses? The stammering, reject, running, hiding from God, hiding from the calling of God, running, hiding. What about David? David and all of his challenges and all of his greatness and all of the awesomeness that he did, he was flawed. But God used him. What about you? What about me? In all that we're not, in all of our flaws and all of our weaknesses and all of the warts and all of the blemishes in our life, but yet God still sees you. He sees me. He sees us. And he says, no, I can do something with you. I can use you. You get a new fix on my greatness, on my bigness, on my awesomeness in your life. And there's things that can take place, because when we get a picture of what God can do, we begin to look at ourselves differently. Something awakens in our soul and our spirit, and we can believe for something new, something great, something awesome within our life. Just like Gideon, no longer having to hide in the caves, no longer being in despair, no longer complaining, no longer looking and counting what God hasn't done, no longer having a moan, no longer licking his wounds and making excuses. No, but he rose up, but he began to believe that God could do something in his life and make a difference through his life and deliver a nation. Just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, been there 30 years. Jesus came by and he says, pick up your mat and walk. What, you're not going to pray for me? You're not going to have a prayer meeting for me? No healing service? No, he says, you want to walk? Pick it up and begin to walk. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. I don't got nobody to put me in the pool when the water stirs. What, somebody in the Victory Outreach says, shut up. Get up and begin to walk. Begin to walk and act and dare and risk and trust again. For some, it means becoming vulnerable again. Sometimes we get hurt. We go through things and we get vulnerable. And we get hurt and we don't want to trust no more. But to be able to allow God to do great things in our life, we need to become vulnerable. We need to become open to God and trust. Trust God and trust God's people. Say, okay, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to make of me? Because see, it's a new time, it's a new place, it's a new season. There's new hope, new possibilities, new opportunities. There's a breath of fresh air. There's a wind of God's Spirit that's beginning to blow in Victory Outreach. Some of it called the third wave. There's a move of God afoot. There's a move of God that's beginning to take place. And God's people, we need to rise up and we need to get in there and capture the wind and let the Spirit of God blow and move us and direct our lives into His purpose and His promise for our lives. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take the ability to begin to trust God that He can do what He says He wants to do. Sometimes our worst enemy is who we see in the mirror. He's called ugly. She's called uglier. And we see all the ugly in our life. But God looks at a different reflection. When He looks at you and when He looks at me, He sees His Son. And He sees the power of God and what He's able to do in a life that is surrendered to Him. So we've got to get a new perspective on God, a new fix on God, a new understanding of ourselves. And then we need to get a reality check on what God has called us to do. God told Gideon, I've called you to smite the Midianites. I love the King James Version. It says, I called you to smite them. When's the last time somebody got smit? I want to smite them. See, God calls us to something bigger than ourselves. He calls us to something beyond what we can do. He calls us to a task bigger than ourselves, like Pastor Sonny likes to say. He says, I've called us to a God-sized task, not what we can do in our own strength. If we could do it in our own strength, we don't need God. But God wants to come through. We can't underestimate what God wants to do, but a bigger underestimation is when we underestimate ourselves, because there's more in you than you think. You're capable of more than what you think you are. God wants to grow us, expand us, and develop us. He wants to do something within us that impacts the kingdom of God. He wants to do something in us that is beyond what we can think. God's called this church. God's called this ministry not just to be a little local church in Manchester, not just to be a little watering hole for people to come and get refreshed, not just a little place to come and, you know, get woo, and then go away and come back again. God hasn't called your pastor and your leaders here in this church to come preach little nice little sermons to little Christianettes. No, but he's called this church for a purpose. He's called this church for a reason. And if he's called this church for a reason and a purpose, and you come to this church, you didn't come here by coincidence, by happenstance. You just didn't stumble in. No, God brought you here. He brought you here for a reason. He brought you here for a purpose, because God's got something for you to do, because he's got something for this church to do. So if you're here and this church has got a call of God on it to impact the world, then you're a world impact person. Because he hasn't called everybody here, he's called you here. And he wants to make you an impact person, not just this city, not just this country, but continents and the world beyond. I mean, so far, yeah, you've got, you know, you're looking at Scotland, you're looking at Ireland, you're looking at Wales, we're looking at the continent of Europe and Germany and Holland and beyond. I believe Eastern Europe's going to open up. I believe the Czech Republic, I believe Romania and those countries beyond are wide open, because England is what? It's the gateway to the world. Y'all conquered the world at one time. Over half the world was yours. Then you gave it away. Now it's time to take it back. Now it's time to take it back. But not in military might, not in political might, but in the kingdom of God power, to step and begin to march on the world and to begin to go. And wherever the sole of your foot treads, God says, I'm going to give you that land. And your feet have tread on some lands and some continents and some cities, and God wants to give you that land. You've got a God-sized task on your hands, and God's called you to fulfill that. But we're not going to do it feeling inadequate and complex and insecure. No, we've got to rise up and know that God has promised it. God is going to do it. We got the same promise as Gideon. Gideon was told, God said, I'll be with you. We got Matthew 28:20. He says, lo, I will be with you always. I will be with you unto the ends of the earth. God's with us. We got a better covenant than what they had back there in the Old Testament. We've got a covenant that God is with us. He don't got to appear to us. He's with us every step of the way. You're going to face growing pains in this church. You're growing, you're expanding. It's going to take, there's going to be pains, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be changes. God's going to raise up people. God's going to bring new people. We can't be looking at, well, what about him? Well, what about her? And how come them? Forget all that. It's not about them, you, or her. It's about you. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? We start looking at others and we start measuring ourselves against other people. That ain't going to get us anywhere. The measure is the stature of Christ, Paul says in Ephesians. He's our measuring standard, not what this one is doing and that one doing. Well, I don't got to go to a meeting because that one don't go. I got some guy in my church. Can you believe it? This guy's been around since Noah built the ark. He's been a leader, been all of those things. So he's on the leadership team, and he goes, well, that one don't go to the meeting, so I guess I don't got to go. So I asked him one day. I said, so you really believe that? I go, what kind of values you got in your life? What do you know what's right to do in your heart that God has taught you? To be at that meeting. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I go, so you compromise your values because of what somebody else does or doesn't do. I go, you're not true to yourself, let alone true to God. See, when we begin to compromise and measure our life against somebody else, and we do what they do because, well, they can get away with it and we can't, then, well, we could just do whatever we want because everybody does whatever they want. But God's called us to a standard. God's calls us and he deals within our life and he deals with us individually and he says, no, I've called you. You know what's right. You know what's valuable. You know what's purposeful in your heart and what's in your life. And you need to be true to those purposes and those values and those arrangements and those commitments that we've made with God. Just because somebody else doesn't do it doesn't give us the liberty not to do what we know is right to do. You'll get that going home. Because God, he's positioning us and preparing us for a new dimension of the expansion that he wants to bring. And as the church continues to grow, new leadership's going to rise up. New people are going to rise up. People are going to begin to rise up. There's going to be an expansion. But it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what God wants to do. And when we take a new fix on God and we recognize what God's called us to do, then we can be big people for the tasks that he's called us to do. There's some growing and maturing that God wants to take place, and it's going to take all of us together to pull together, to stretch, to grow, and to mature, to fulfill what God wants to do. It's not going to be one or two or three. It's going to be all of us together. Paul says when we're all together, when we all come together, when there's unity, the upper room, the birth of Christianity, the birth of the church took place in an upper room with 120. There was 2,000 and then 300 and then they ended up with 120. And then and out of that said, when they came together, one heart, one mind, one soul, and they agreed together, there was a breakthrough that took place, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And when we come together and we agree together, there isn't anything that God can't do. That's where breakthroughs come. And in the midst of it all, Gideon, verse number 24, he built an altar unto the Lord. He called it an altar of peace. Give me a couple more minutes. Now, in the Old Testament, an altar always speaks of our relationship with God. It always speaks of that coming to that place where we build that altar before the Lord, and it speaks of our relationship with him and that building process that happens within our life. It's that place where we come and we say, all right, God, I surrender to you. I recognize that I need you, that I can't do anything without you. And we come to that place of surrender. And the Bible tells us that Gideon called it an altar of peace. Well, what does peace mean? Peace means that we stop fighting. Peace means that we surrender. Peace means that opposition is over. One writer calls peace, he coined a phrase called the cessation of againstness. Where we stop fighting and battling with God. Where we surrender our rights in our relationship to him. And God, we need you. I can't do this on my own. Where we place our ways on the altar and we let those ways die. Where our rights are reconciled and surrendered to God. Where we die and we take on God's ways and we surrender our ways. Well, for Gideon, what died? What died on that altar? What died? What took place there? Number one, the questioning mind. Gideon's mind of questioning, of arguing and doubting and debating with the angel, doubting and debating with God, looking at circumstances, his vocabulary of doubt had to die. Sometimes our vocabulary has to die, has to change the way we see things, the way we talk about things. Verse number 13 of chapter 6 in Judges, it says, "Oh my Lord," those aren't worship words, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has this befallen us? Where are all your wonders that our fathers told us about? But now, Lord, you have forsaken us." Don't sound like a man of faith there, does he? And he goes on, it gets better. Verse 15. "Oh, my Lord," he ain't worshiping God. "How can I, my poor family, my poor tribe, my poor me?" Sounds like you and me sometimes, doesn't it? "I can't do it. It's too hard. I don't know. Verse number 17. If I have found favor, give me a sign. Now, you know what it would be if I would have been that angel, if it would have been me? I go, you want a sign? Who do you think you're looking at? Who do you think you're talking to? You want a sign? I'm the angel of the Lord. I'm sitting right here having a conversation, and you want a sign? What's the matter with you? But I'd have hit him upside the head with that staff that just lit that sacrifice on fire. I'd say, come over here, but I gotta whack him. What do you mean you want a sign? But that's just like us sometimes. We're always looking for a sign. We're always looking for oh God, show me. Oh God, what about me? I'm forsaken. Oh poor me. And how am I ever going to do it? And how am I ever going to? We need to take that kind of vocabulary, that kind of mentality, and we need to put it on the altar, and we need to let it die. We need to come to peace with God and say, all right, God, your way, not my way. I surrender and I give my life to you. Let me see you in a new dimension with new understanding of your awesomeness and your greatness. And because I see that, I look at me different, and I see a man, a woman who can do great exploits, not in my own strength and my own ability, but because of your touch upon my life. And I recognize that we've been called to a great task. We've got a big job in front of us, and we need to quit being spectators, and we need to start being participators in what God desires to do. Stand with me this morning. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we praise you today, and we thank you for your presence here. And Father, I pray, just as the angel of the Lord that day spoke to Gideon, I pray that the angel of the Lord speak to us here today. And we recognize your touch and your call upon our lives. And we come today and we build an altar of peace unto you. A peace where we surrender. A peace where we stop fighting. An altar of peace till we stop arguing with you about what you've called us to. We surrender our lives today. For some of you, you got to become vulnerable again. You got to learn how to trust. You got to learn how to trust God. You got to learn how to trust leadership. You got to learn how to trust people to speak into your life, to give us counsel and to give us wisdom. We need to stop fighting God, surrender to Him. Quit finding excuses. Why not? And start finding reasons why not to do what God's called us to do. Be who God's called us to be. And recognize that we have a great and awesome and a mighty God. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed all across this room. If you need to build an altar today, an altar of a relationship with God, where we allow God to be the final say within our life, where we stop fighting, we stop arguing, we stop doubting, and we begin believing and walking in faith in what God has said. As we sing that song, I don't know what you got on the schedule, but I'm going to change the schedule. Can we sing that song, How Great Is Our God? Come and sing with me, How Great Is Our God. And as we sing that song, if you serve a great God, if you need God to be great within your life today, if you face overwhelming circumstances and situations, I want to challenge you today to step out. Get out of that chair and come down to an altar and say, God, I need you today. God, I want to build my relationship with you. I want to build something with you. I want to build an altar of peace today where I stop fighting and I stop wrestling and I stop arguing and I simply surrender to you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.